Okay, if you need a Bible this morning, we have some extras in the back, and we'll get one to you. If you're a visitor today and came without a Bible, we'd like for you to follow along with us, although we turn kind of quick. You know, we go through the Scriptures very quickly. But we'd like for you to see it for yourself if you want a Bible this morning. If you need one, lift your hand, and we'll get one to you right away. Otherwise, I guess everybody's well-equipped today, all right? Okay, good. Amen. All right. A couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, I started a message and never got to finish it. Last Sunday, we had an unusual service, didn't we? Wasn't that a blessing? That was a great morning. Just our young people testifying, just saying how the Lord blessed them that week in youth camp. And I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. They weren't making it up. It was a great week. And I was blessed myself to be there and hear the preaching and just to be around our teenagers all week long was such a joy. They were a great testimony for our church. We had 22 of our kids there, and they were, every single one of them, just very, very well-behaved. Not everybody there from every church was well-behaved. Our kids were a real blessing, and they were a good testimony. I was proud of them, and I was also just very thankful for what the Lord did in their hearts. There were some real decisions made that week. And it was a great meeting last Sunday morning just to hear the young people say so and hear them singing. But this morning, we want to try to finish what we started. Two or three weeks ago, we started a message about, we would say it's a message about joy, a message about our joy and our rejoicing as Christians. And I just went through the Bible and I looked up some verses about shouting. And how often it mentions in the Scriptures that if anybody ought to be shouting today, it ought to be somebody who's saved. I mean, there are lots of things to shout about. You get people together around a basketball game, football game. I mean, people shout about all kinds of stuff. But if anybody ought to be shouting today, it ought to be somebody who's saved and on their way to heaven. But sometimes we're awfully quiet about our Christianity. Sometimes we don't say much, and I guess if we're saved, the place that it ought to be easiest to say something would be in here, right? Wouldn't it? You would think that since we're around brothers and sisters in Christ, and we got nothing to fear from one another, I hope, right? I don't think anybody came in here with the intention of doing any harm or backbiting or gossiping or hurting anybody. If there ought to be anybody that could praise the Lord and shout and rejoice, it ought to be us. And if there's any place that we ought to be able to do it the most freely, it would be here when we're together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a lot to rejoice about. And so we went through the Bible and we looked at a number of verses about that, and we're just going to try to continue that this morning and conclude it this morning. But I hope that you haven't lost your shout as a Christian. I hope you haven't lost it. I mean, some Christians have. Some Christians, I don't know if they ever got it, you know. Maybe you're just a quiet kind of a person by nature. Dominic, you weren't here, by the way. We mentioned this morning that you got saved on Wednesday night. So you weren't here for us to say that. But why don't you stand up? I want everybody to see you. Dominic, go ahead. Stand up. Yeah, that's you. Go ahead. Stand up. It's all right. We're not trying to get your money. All right. Praise the Lord. This is Dominic. He trusted Christ as his Savior Wednesday night. All right, praise the Lord. Glad you're here this morning, Dominic. All right. All right, let's get our Bibles open, if you would. I want you this morning to turn to we're going to start with the book of Job. The book of Job, that comes right before the book of Psalms, if you're new to the Scriptures. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible, and then right before that is the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Now, one of those Sundays that we touched on this message, I said to you that heaven is a place that is, it's not a quiet place. Heaven is not a morgue. You know, it's not a cemetery. Heaven is a noisy place. If you read your Bible and you get back into the book of Revelation and you see that heaven is filled with praises. Heaven is filled with angels singing. Heaven is filled with saints shouting, praising the Lord, singing. Heaven has got, in Revelation chapter 4, it describes these four creatures, heavenly creatures, that surround the throne of God. And their only job is night and day. Well, there's no night in heaven, but I mean continually, 24/7. They are doing nothing but just praising the Lord and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." You say, that sure get monotonous after about 10,000 years. Apparently not to God, since He set the thing up. Apparently the Lord doesn't ever get tired of hearing you praise Him. Even if you think, well, it's repetitious. You know, how many different ways can you say praise the Lord? I mean, there's not too many different ways you can say it. Praise the Lord. 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 You know, there's not that many ways you can say it. But guess what? The Lord designed it that He never gets tired of hearing you praise Him and rejoice and thank Him. And if you can't sing, you know what? You can shout. Right? Amen? Can you do that? You can shout. You can. You say, "Oh, I don't know how to sing." Okay, but you can open your mouth and you can shout. You do it other times in your life. You're not embarrassed about it under some circumstances. And you know what? If you and I are saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives within us, there ought to be a shout in our heart. I know that one of these days, you are just going to bust loose and you're going to actually shout. I know some of you. Some of you have never done it. But I'm hoping, I'm waiting for that day when you do. When you just forget about what anybody thinks about you. Forget about what the person beside you is going to say. And you just shout, "Praise the Lord." Or, "Thank you, Jesus." "Praise God." All right? Say, "Well, I don't want to be like one of them holy roller whatevers." You know, what is your problem? What is our problem? What is our problem? We think that way, right? If God put a song in your heart, if God saved you and His Holy Spirit lives inside of you, it ought to be pretty easy for you just to rejoice and to thank and praise the Lord. All right, go to Job chapter 38. I want to just show you a couple of verses, and then we're going to pick up where we left off. Job chapter 38. Job 38 takes us all the way back to the beginning of time, before the earth was even made. And it gives us a little glimpse of what the Lord was doing and what the angels were doing when God started to create the earth. In verse number, God is speaking here to Job in verse number 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" And God begins to ask Job some questions here. Verse number 5, it says, "Who hath laid the measures thereof," or verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." God is saying to Job, because Job was surrounded by his friends, four of his friends who were trying to figure out why Job was going through so much suffering, and they all had an opinion about the matter, and they were all wrong. And God said to them, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And God says, "Were you there when I made the earth?" You know, Mr. Know-it-all. You know, you that got all the answers. That's what God is saying. "Were you there when I made the earth?" Verse number 4. Verse number 5, "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest?" In other words, who stretched out? Who decided that the oceans were going to be this big and the continents were going to be that big? Who decided that the mountains were going to be this tall? God's saying to Job, "Did you figure that out? Did you guys design it? I was there. I did it." And it says, "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Now watch verse number 7. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, God's speaking about a time before there was Adam and Eve. So the sons of God here are not humans. The sons of God, in the Old Testament, when God speaks about sons of God, like in Genesis chapter 6, He's talking about the angels, because men weren't created yet. God is creating the earth right here when He's talking about this. He's laying the foundations of the earth. But there were already creatures in heaven. God had already made the angels. God made the angels. Lucifer was there before Adam was created. Remember, because Lucifer went into the garden after Adam was made and tempted Adam eating. So before there was a man, heaven was filled with these beings, with angels, with cherubim, with seraphim. And God is giving you a little glimpse here of what was going on. While God was hanging the stars and creating the earth, what were the angels doing? Look at that verse again, verse number 7. "The morning stars," those are the angels. The Bible speaks of them as stars because they shine. You know, they shine in their brightness. If the angels were to appear, were to make themselves visible, it would look like stars going through the sky. They shine. And so It says, when God was doing this, when God was fastening the earth and laying the cornerstone thereof, notice that the morning stars were singing. There was a choir singing while God was putting planets and stars in place. And notice it says, the sons of God, what? Verse number 7. Shouted for joy. Even the angels, heaven is a noisy place. God hadn't even begun to redeem man. This is light work for God to make planets and stars. This is no big deal. This is not a complicated thing for God to set it all in place. And as the angels are watching God work, they begin to sing and they begin to shout for joy. Heaven has been like that ever since the beginning. Heaven's been a noisy place. And it's not a noise of war or battle. It's not a noise of gossip and backbiting and contention. They're just singing and praising God. They see Him and they know Him for who He is. And they rejoice because of God. So heaven is a noisy place. I showed you last Sunday, I think, Zephaniah chapter 3. Can you find that one again? Zephaniah chapter 3. That's toward the end of the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with your Bible yet. It's a small book, right toward the end of the Old Testament. Go to Zephaniah chapter 3. And this is written by a prophet, and he's looking ahead into the future to when God will save and restore Israel. Right now, the nation of Israel is living in unbelief. They rejected their Messiah. But of course, you know, if you've been here any amount of time, you know that there's coming a day after the rapture, during the tribulation, when God begins to work in Israel again, and that whole nation comes to know Him and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the nation of Israel is restored. And Zephaniah is prophesying that here. And notice in verse number 3, the Lord says, chapter number 3, verse number 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with joy, He will rest in His love, He will joy over thee with singing. So you've got heaven filled with angels singing, cherubim singing, shouting for joy. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself rejoices. The Bible tells us that there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Now, it doesn't say the angels rejoice over sinners getting saved, because I don't think the angels can really understand what the big deal is about sinners being saved. But the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Well, who's rejoicing in the presence of the angels? That's got to be your Savior. That's got to be maybe the other saints that are already in heaven, and they can appreciate it, what it means. They can appreciate what it means for a sinner to come to Christ. So there's joy in heaven. There's singing in heaven. Even the Lord Jesus Christ rejoices and sings, and the angels are singing. Heaven is like that. So what's the matter with us down here? Why would there be joy missing in your life? Why would the shout be gone out of your Christianity? We looked at, when we started this message a few weeks ago, we looked at all those many verses in the Old Testament that speak about the saints shouting for joy. You don't have to turn there. We don't have time. But Psalm 5, verse 11, it says, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Psalm 32, in verse 11, says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 47, in verse number 1, says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 98, verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice. See, some churches, I think we have this mistaken idea that God really appreciates it when we worship Him quietly. That it should be somber and silent in here like a graveyard. You know what? Heaven's not quiet. The Lord isn't quiet in heaven.
Amen.
When we get together and if we really understand who we're worshiping, who we're serving, who saved us, you ought to be able to open your mouth and at least every once in a while say amen or oh my or something. You know, but open your mouth and praise the Lord. Psalm 132, verse 16 says this, "Her saints shall shout aloud for joy." Go with me to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Get there real quick if you can. Isaiah 38. Look at verse number 17. Isaiah 38, verse number 17. Isaiah 38, verse number 17. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." Instead of peace, the author here, Isaiah, is saying there was bitterness instead of peace. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Ooh, does that make you happy? Does that make you happy? Your sins he has cast behind his back. "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." Verse 19. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The living. You know what? I'm alive now since I got saved. There was a time I was dead in trespasses and sins, and so were you. There was a time you were dead, you were headed for hell. You were physically alive, spiritually dead, and you were headed for hell. What happened the day you got saved? Jesus Christ gave you life. Who should praise him? The living. The living, not the dead. You know, God commands even the lost world to praise him. But how can the dead, the spiritually dead, praise the Lord? They don't know him. Who should praise him? The living. You and I, if we're saved, you know what? You've been given eternal life. And with that eternal life should come a song in your heart and some praise on your lips for the Lord Jesus Christ. The living. Any living here this morning? All right, okay, there's a few of you. There's some of you here this morning, you know for sure you're going to live forever. You're on your way to heaven now. I'm glad about that. I know. I mean, we're no better than anybody else in the world, but we've got a Savior who promised us that if we would trust him, he would give us everlasting life. I'm among those living now. And the Lord expects the living to praise him. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Praising the Lord for the life he gave you. Philippians chapter 4, jump all the way over in the New Testament with me. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 4. Philippians 4:4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. You find it? You got it? "Rejoice in the Lord every Sunday morning." "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice evermore." One of the shortest verses in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice always. And again I say rejoice." 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice evermore." You know, God expects his people to rejoice. To open their mouth. To let, you know, like I said a couple of Sundays ago, let your face know that you're saved. Let your face know that you're happy. You know, if there's really something going on in your heart and the Spirit of God is at work inside of you, listen, kids, listen. Listen up here. Look right up here. Listen, I don't know what you got that's more interesting than what's in this book right now. But if you got something going on more interesting than this book, then take it outside and do it outside. All right? Okay, I want you right up here. Okay, I'm not much to look at, but right now I'm the main attraction. All right? And this book, this is what's going on. All right? Now, if there's something, we're talking about something that every Christian ought to have in your heart. Why? The Holy Spirit of God lives there. And if you got no clue about what I'm talking about this morning, then it's possible the Holy Spirit doesn't live there yet. It may be possible that the Spirit of God has never come to take up residence inside you. You need to know my Savior if you're going to have His joy. And when He comes to live in your house, guess what? It becomes a happy house. You know what? Jesus has come to a lot of our houses and things start to change when the Lord moves in. How could it not change? How could it not change when somebody like Him moves in? If He's really living there, how could it just continue like it was before? You know, the Son of God Himself comes into your life and into your house, and into this home in your heart, and everything just goes on like it always was before. How could that be? Either He's not really there, or He's living there, but you've got Him pushed over in a corner somewhere, you know, duct taped, nice and quiet in the corner, and you don't really want Him influencing anything that's going on in your life. But you know what? If you'll just get out of the way and you'll let the Lord live His life inside of you, Amen. Your house becomes a happy house.
Amen.
Your home becomes a happy home. Your marriage would be a lot happier if you just let the Lord loose. Just let Him loose and just let Him have His way. Your life would be happier if you would just get out of the way and let the Lord Jesus Christ live His life inside of you. Maybe some of that nastiness you feel sometime and some of that bitterness that you got, and maybe some of that anger from some of you kids still dealing with it, or maybe some of that foolishness that's all bound up in your heart, maybe some of that would go right out the window if you just let the Lord Jesus Christ just have His way in your heart.
Amen.
Rejoicing is supposed to be a normal part of our Christian life. It's not supposed to be something weird. If somebody were just to get excited and shout and want to jump up and down and stand on the chairs or something and just start to rejoice that they're saved, do you know what? In some places that'd be, oh, I can't believe that He did that. Oh, my goodness. I just think that's just so extreme. I'm so, like, not extreme, it's not funny. I mean, you haven't seen extreme. You know what? If you're saved, you shouldn't be embarrassed about just letting loose every once in a while. It shouldn't embarrass you. It shouldn't embarrass you at all. Why? Who are you talking about? You're talking about God Himself. You're talking about your Savior. You're talking about the one that loved you enough to hang on that cross. We started talking about who should shout and rejoice. Well, I think a couple of Sundays ago we said sinners certainly should. Sinners should. Remember, like that leper, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 17, the Lord healed 10 lepers and 9 of them went on their way, but one turned around and went back to the Lord and fell at His feet. And it says, with a loud voice, he worshiped the Lord and he praised the Lord. Why? That man was grateful and thankful that the Lord had changed his life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that, man.
Amen.
He was grateful. He didn't have to be coaxed or, you know, cheerleaded into saying praise the Lord or thank you, Lord. Nobody had to tell him. I mean, it was in his heart. Nobody even had to show him the verses in the Bible where he was supposed to be happy. You know, he didn't even have time to look up those verses where he was supposed to be happy. What happened? He was happy.
Amen.
He was happy because the Spirit of God had changed his life. His sins were forgiven. He was healed. You and I just got to get a hold of that. We got to praise Him. Go to Jeremiah chapter 33 with me. I think we might have looked at this one before, but I don't want to read the whole thing. I just want you to see one verse out of this section, Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, again, it deals with one of the prophecies concerning Israel's future restoration when they get right with God. And Jeremiah is looking toward that day. And look in verse number 11, real quick. Jeremiah 33, verse number 11. And it's describing what Israel is going to be like, what the nation of Israel will be like one day when God comes down to earth, saves them, restores them. And notice what's going to be heard again in Israel in verse number 11. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice of the bride. Who's that? That'll be the church. And the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. They're going to be shouting in the streets. Why? That nation which walked for so long in blindness, like you and I did too, is now saved and restored and they know their God. And what's the reaction? Joy. It says, some in the street, the voice of them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. Amen? For His mercy endureth forever. Now watch this. And of them that shall bring, here it is. We sing this, don't we? Don't we sing a medley? It goes something like that. How does that thing go? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Comes from that verse. That's where it's coming from. That song. We bring, notice it says, they shall bring the sacrifice of praise. Think about that. The sacrifice of praise. Remember in the Old Testament, when the Jews came into the presence of God, they had to bring various sacrifices. There were five specific sacrifices that they could bring. A sin offering, a trespass offering, a peace offering, etc., etc. They could bring these to the Lord. But there was another one that they were to bring when they came into the presence of the Lord. They were to come into His presence with another sacrifice. What was the sacrifice? Praise. Think of that. The things that come out of your mouth when you thank and praise your Lord are to God like an offering to Him. It's like bringing a sacrifice to Him and laying it before Him. When you and I open our mouth, I don't mean just in this setting, but in private, at your home, in the morning when you get up, when you open your mouth and you just thank God and praise the Lord. And you know what? God considers that like bringing Him a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13, all the way near the back of your Bible, just before Revelation. Find Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and go down there to verse number 15. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. An offering of our lips unto God. Say, well, I'm quite a kind of a person. I just praise the Lord in my heart. Hey, that's not the kind of praise the Lord is looking for. It isn't. I worship Him in my heart. Well, good for you. He wants to hear it in your mouth. He wants to hear it with your lips. He could have had the angels worshiping Him silently in heaven. I mean, God could read their thoughts, right? Why didn't He just have all the angels just praising Him in their heart? And the Lord could just all hear their hearts praising Him. No, they open their mouth and they shout and they sing. The Lord God, though He's a spirit, wanted the praises to be ringing around the rafters in heaven. It ought to be that way in our life too. And you know what? I'll tell you this. If it's not, something is wrong. If it's not that way, something is wrong. Amen? Something's missing, right? If the joy has gone out of your heart, gone out of your life as a Christian, there's nothing wrong with God. There's something wrong with us when that happens. If I'm saved and on my way to heaven and I know I'm saved, but I got no song in my heart and I got no joy, and when I think about the cross and I think about my blessings and I think about forgiveness and I think about my Savior, there's not something inside of me that wells up and just wants to say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? There's something missing. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong. And it's not something wrong with the Lord. There's something wrong with us when that's missing. Now, you know that's true. You know that's true. Some of us, we get into those times in our life when we just don't feel like saying a word, singing a song, burping or anything. We don't. It's just nothing. You couldn't squeeze a grunt out of you for God. And you know those are usually times when we're not walking with God. There's something wrong in our heart. We're missing something. Our fellowship with the Lord isn't right. We haven't been in the book. We haven't been praying. We haven't been serving. And you know what? Our joy goes. But look at this. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 15. You got it? By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God every Sunday morning. What does it say? Continually. What am I supposed to give God every day?
Praise.
Every day, continually. Every day. Get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Boy, it's such a blessing to be saved, Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. My fingers are working. My eyeballs are working. Lord, thank you. I'm alive. Thank you. Heaven's my home. Lord, thank you for washing away my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross for me. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for some food in my belly. You know what? If you just started thinking about all the goodness that God has shown you in your life, you know what? You'd get happy. You would get happy. That means you're thinking about the wrong things, probably. You're getting up in the morning, you're thinking about your stocks. You're thinking about what you got to do that day. You're thinking about, you know, going to work. You're thinking about the guy at work that hates you. You're thinking about what so-and-so said about you. You're thinking about your kids. Got to do this, got to do that. Thinking about your wife. Well, maybe that. I hope that brings you joy. Thinking about your husband. Maybe that. I hope that brings you joy. You know what? Amen. You're thinking about the wrong things. Start thinking about your Savior. Amen. If we think about Him a little bit, look unto Jesus, it says, consider Him, it says, in Hebrews chapter 12, it would be so much easier if we could get our heart affected with Jesus Christ. Our mouth and the things that come out of our mouth would change. It would change. It would change. Look at this verse again. Look at it carefully. By Him, that means the Spirit of God has to be in it, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, watch this, the fruit of our hearts. No. It's this part right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You say, well, He sees my heart. No, He wants to hear it out of your mouth. He wants to hear it out of your mouth.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Say it with your lips. Why does the Bible say, and even when it comes to our salvation, couldn't I just quietly, silently just trust the Lord in my heart? Yeah, I guess you could. But why does Romans chapter 10 say this? If thou, whosoever, oh, now I'm going to mess the verse up. believe in thine heart and confess, right, with thy mouth? Help me out here. What is Romans chapter 10, right? I'm drawing a blank here. All right, anyway, you got the point. You know the verse, right? But there's something about the mouth in there, right? Now, why would that be necessary? Can't God see my heart? Well, of course He can. Doesn't God know what I'm thinking? Yes, absolutely He does. But what is it about the Lord? He wants your lips to testify to what's going on in your heart. We do in other areas of our life. The Bible says out of the heart, you know, proceed all those evil things that just come pouring out of our mouth. And if we can't muster up a little praise and a little joy and a little rejoicing that coming out of our mouth, you know what? Maybe there's something wrong down here, down deep within. The Lord doesn't want you to fake it. He doesn't want you to just go around. I mean, some people, I think, I've heard people that put praise the Lord's in the wrong place and amen's in the wrong place. We were kidding about this the other day. You know, I mean, I don't want to make fun, but you know how sometimes we've had guest preachers here and they go, yeah, I was down there in prison, amen, you know. No, an amen doesn't go there. That's not where an amen goes. You know, I was a drug addict, amen. No, wait a minute. Amen means thank you, Lord, so be it. No, that's not where amen goes. But I'm saying, you know, get your amens and praise the Lord's in the right place. But man, get them. Get them in your speech. Get them in your life. Oh, anyway, here we go. Watch. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips. So our praise is like a sacrifice to God. It is an offering. It's something coming out of our mouth. And we give it to God as a sacrifice to Him. Go back with me in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles. Find that one real quick if you can. Comes right after 1 and 2 Kings in the Old Testament, back toward the beginning. 1 Chronicles, chapter 23. These are the chronicles of the kings of Israel. And of course, David was the greatest of those kings. And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 23, David set up some things. Remember, the temple was built by David's son Solomon. David prepared all the materials for the temple. And then Solomon, his son, built the temple. And in preparing for the temple and the worship of Israel, David set some things in place. And in Chronicles chapter 23, look at verse number 27. It says, by the last words of David, the Levites, that was one of the tribes in Israel, those were the priests, those were the servants of God. The Levites were the ones that ministered in the temple. They were the pastors, in a sense. They were the pastors and the deacons for Israel. They were the ones that did the work of the ministry. And notice, David laid out their jobs. Now, the law, God had in the law spelled out some of their duties. But David clarified those things by the Holy Spirit. David clarified their responsibilities. Notice it says, by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord. And then skip down to verse number 30. Among their responsibilities was this in verse number 30. Look what they were supposed to do. To stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Now you know what? That was their job. Yes, it was a job. They went to work every morning, had their coffee, had their bagel, punched in and stood and thanked and praised the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I mean, it was their responsibility. I hope it came from their heart every morning. But do you know what? God set that up every morning and every evening. He wanted His house. That was the temple. That's where His praise took place. That's where the sacrifices were brought. That was the center of Israel's worship. And God wanted that place to be filled with praise. Even if it was required by law. God wanted every morning and every evening the Levites were to come in there with their hearts ready and their hearts right with God. And they were to open their mouth every morning, stand and thank the Lord and praise the Lord. You know what? If they had to do that under the law, can't you and I do that under grace? Not because we're compelled to, not because we're required to, but because God put something in your heart and it's just easy to praise Him. Can you praise Him this morning? Amen. Can you do that? Are you glad you're saved? All right. Okay. Amen. All right. Can you thank Him this morning that you're saved? You're going to heaven. You know what? None of us deserve it. None of us in this room deserve it. None of us. If everybody in this room knew what you had in your heart most of the time and knew your background, you know what? We'd probably be scared of each other. It'd probably be hard to keep us all in the same room together if we really knew what was going on in our hearts some of the time. And yet, look at this. God had mercy on sinners like us. God had mercy on me and you. I can't believe some of you got saved. But you know what? That's not as amazing as when I look in the mirror, I can't believe I got saved. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened. I don't even know why God bothered. But you know what? I'm happy He did. I'm glad He did. And I know today I'm on my way to heaven. And you know what? It shouldn't be so hard to squeeze a thank you out of you. It shouldn't be so hard to squeeze a praise the Lord out of you. There ought to be something in our heart if we really understand what God has done for us. Go to Psalm 119, verse number 164. Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. That's right. Thank you for that. Let me write that down. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. See that? How often throughout the day would be a good idea to just be thankful and praise the Lord? What does it say? Seven times. Yes. And I don't think it was, okay, that was number five. I owe you two more, Lord. I don't think it's like that, but I mean, David is just saying it. In other words, it was a daily, continual thing with David. Not once, not twice, not just when he went to church, not at the time of just the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, but throughout David's day. What is he doing? He's praising the Lord. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgment. Look at Psalm 34. Just back up a little bit to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Go there real quick. Psalm 34. Look at verse number 1. Everybody knows these verses. We love these verses. I think this is one of those chapters everybody, you know, a lot of people go to in times of trouble. And notice how it begins. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord. When? At all times. At all times. At all times. During bad times? Yes, bless the Lord. Mad times? Yes, bless the Lord. Thank Him. Praise Him. Bless Him. Let Him know you appreciate Him. Thank Him for saving you. I know you can think of at least probably 10 things right now you could praise the Lord for and thank Him for right now. If you thought, just for a second, you could thank Him for something. You could thank Him you're saved. If you just started down that list, man, I'll tell you what, after a little while, you would start to feel happy when you start to count your blessings. I will bless the Lord at all times. Watch this. His praise shall continually be in my what? Right. Not just your heart, your mouth. It's not enough to rejoice in your heart. It's not enough to appreciate the Lord in your heart. God wants to hear it in your lips. The sacrifice of praise. The offering of our lips. Look at verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Go to Psalm 71. You know what some people say? They might have said it last Sunday. Boy, those young people sure are enthusiastic. Boy, those teenagers sure are excited. Boy, those kids, you know, that's really a blessing to hear those kids get so happy for Jesus. Look in Psalm 71. Now, Psalm 71 was written when David was an old man. He's not some young, this is not when he's in a little lad with the slingshot and taking down the giant. David's an old man when he wrote Psalm 71. And listen to David here. It says, let's skip down here a little bit. Skip down to verse number 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. This is David. David, as an old man, is saying, Lord, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. Skip down to verse 14. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I don't know how many days I got left. That's what the Lord is saying. Lord, I don't know how long I got left. I don't know how many days are left me. But Lord, every day, let my mouth be filled with your praises. David's an old man here.
Amen.
You know what? The old people should be outdoing the young people in here. You've been saved longer. You've got more experience. You've walked with God. You've seen God work. You've seen God answer prayer. You've seen God do things that some of the young people in here have never seen. They will one day, but you know what? If you've walked with the Lord for a while, you ought to be leading the way in praising the Lord. Go on, look at a few more verses in this chapter. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Verse 16. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Verse number 18. Verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Look at verse number 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Even to the end, David said, Lord, don't let me be quiet. Don't let me get quiet. Let the young people be the one praising you, Lord. Even in my old age, Lord, let me just continue to praise you until this generation that's coming up will know the works of the Lord. I want to tell them with my lips, Lord. I want to be sure they know from me, as one who's walked with you for a while, how good you are, how great it is to be saved, how wonderful it is to know your sins are forgiven. That ought to be true in your life, whether you're young or old. Just rejoice in your Lord. Sinners should be able to do it. Soldiers, God has made every one of us soldiers once we get saved. We looked at some verses the last time about soldiers rejoicing in the battle. The servants of the Lord ought to be able to rejoice. The Bible speaks about sowers when they go out to sow the seed and they can come again. Psalm 126, verse 6 says that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 19. One of the rewards, or the Bible speaks about various crowns in the Scriptures. And I don't know that those are actual golden crowns that are going to be placed on your head, but I think that those crowns do represent areas of our Christian life where we should be faithful. And there are five of them mentioned in the Bible. One of them is actually called a crown of rejoicing. A crown of rejoicing. A crown of rejoicing. What's it given for? Look in verse number 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What will that crown of rejoicing given to the saints in heaven be about before? Look at it says here. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. What is Paul talking about? In other words, he's talking to the Thessalonian Christians here. Paul had personally gone to their town and led many or most of them to Christ through his preaching. Those that he had one to Christ. We don't save anybody. Like one guy came on Wednesday night and said, you know, I want you to save me. Well, I can't save you, but I can take you to the man who can. You know, that's all we can do. Is we can just get sinners to the man that does do the saving, right? And you know what? What's going to be our... what? You know, I was rejoicing when I went home Wednesday night after Dominic got saved. I was thrilled. I was happy. Why? I got to be there present. The Lord allowed me that privilege, along with Mike, to be sitting in the office there, open the Bible a little bit, show Dominic a few verses out of the Scriptures, and watch him bow his head and call on Jesus Christ to save him. You know what? I think I was happier than he was. I don't know how happy he was, but I was happy. You know what? I was rejoicing. Why? Here's a man that's not going to hell. As John and Alice got saved on Tuesday night. That was a blessing to me. I was rejoicing. I was happy for you guys. Paul says, what is my crown of rejoicing in heaven? He said, it's you guys. You're my joy. Why? Paul had helped to bring them to the Master. Paul had helped to bring them to Christ who saved them. You know what? If you're sitting at home and you're spending your days just on nonsense, and you've never in one way or another, I don't mean maybe personally led someone to Christ, but if you're a part of what's going on around here, you've got a part in all of those that get saved in this church. And you know what? When you get to heaven and you see, oh, so-and-so's there, and this one's there, and that one's there, and this one's there, and that one's there, and my mom is there, and my children are there, and my uncle is there, and my neighbors are there, and this one's there. And you know what? You had some part in it, maybe just to pray for them, maybe to give them a track, maybe just to try to live the right way in front of them so that they don't stumble over your bad example. Anything that you do that may help somebody to come to Christ, you know what? When you get to heaven, you are going to be rejoicing. Amen. That's going to be like a crown on your head because you had a part, even a small part in their salvation. We can pray for lost sinners. We can try to witness to our loved ones. We can give the gospel out wherever we go. We can try to open our mouth. We can try in front of the world when we're out there and we're, you know, wherever you may be at work, you can try to live like a Christian so that somebody's not shocked when they find out that you're saved. Some Christians live their life in such a way that if anybody ever did find out they were saved, the world would be amazed and shocked. You mean you were saved? You knew Christ? All that time you were doing the things that you were doing, but you knew that there was a way to heaven through Christ? Why didn't you live it in front of me? Why didn't you say something about it to me? Now, heaven is going to be a horrible place when you get there. If maybe your life was a stumbling block to some, and they come and stand before God, because they're going to have a trial one day, they're going to be judged one day, and they're going to be standing before God one day. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if some lost sinner standing before God trying to justify himself said, yeah, Lord, but wait a minute, that guy right up there, third row up, fourth one in from the end, that guy right there, you mean he's saved, he's going to heaven? He was my next door neighbor. He never said anything to me. He never lived like he was a child of God. You're going to send me to hell and he never said anything to me? You know what? Don't turn your heaven into a place of sorrow and tears. God intended your heaven to be a place of rejoicing. And God wanted to put a crown of rejoicing on your head. You can turn that into a rejoicing if you'll just be a witness, be a testimony, get your mouth open, start thanking the Lord, start acknowledging Jesus Christ in front of the people that you know, start saying something. I don't mean you have to go around beating people over the head with a Bible. Love them. Be good to them. Let them know that the Lord has been good to you. Amen. You know, some people, I wouldn't want your Christianity. You know, you look like God's been mean to you or something. You know, if your God's been good to you, acknowledge it. Say something to somebody. Unless you can't think of anything good he's ever done for you. And then you got a problem. Then you got a real problem because he's been good to you. Well, I guess we'll end with this. You know what? You say, well, preacher, if you knew what I'm going through, you'd understand why I can't rejoice. If you knew the burdens that I'm carrying, if you knew the troubles that I got right now, you'd understand why I can't be happy, why I can't rejoice. Now, I know there's a lot of burdens in this room. I know that. I know some of you are carrying things that if the rest of the church knew about it, they'd break their heart. But I'll tell you what, when I look in my Bible, I find out that the God that we serve is able to give us joy even with all of our burdens and cares, even with our sorrows. we can have joy. Our joy doesn't have to go out the window just because of our problems. We have problems. Everybody in here has got them. We're all human. Everybody's got things we're dealing with. But I'll tell you what, we have a Heavenly Father who can give us joy even with all of our burdens and cares. I want you to see this. Go back in your Bible to the book of Ezra, if you can find that. It's back before the book of Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, like that. Find Job and then just back up a little bit from Job. Ezra, and then Nehemiah, then Esther, then Job. Go to Ezra. Now, Ezra is a story of when the children of Israel came out of their captivity in Babylon and they went back and they began to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. They built it again. And you remember, if you've read your Bible at all, that the temple that Solomon built was magnificent. It was glorious, covered in gold. It was a work of art. It was admired around the world. People came from all over the world to see Solomon and his temple and his kingdom. It was a glorious temple. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, destroyed that temple when Israel went into captivity. After 70 years of captivity, the Jews went back to Jerusalem and they began to rebuild the city and they eventually rebuilt their temple. Now, what we're going to read right now in Ezra is when the temple was built. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. And now this is an actual historical fact, but I want you to think about it today as an analogy for our lives. Look in verse number 11. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now they've gone back. They've come out of 70 years of imprisonment, of captivity. They're back in their land. They're happy about that. And what was a burden on their heart was to get their temple rebuilt, where their God dwelled. He dwelled in a building in the Old Testament. He lives in your heart now. He doesn't live in a building, but He lived in a building in the Old Testament, in the temple. And they wanted to rebuild this. And when they laid the foundation of that new temple, that second temple, the people are rejoicing, they are shouting, they're so happy, they're praising the Lord. Watch verse number 12. But, here comes the but. But, many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You know what you have here? You have some looking back on the past and they're weeping. And some in the crowd, probably those that didn't remember the first temple, you had to be pretty old to have remembered that first temple, because it had been 70 years before this. The ones that could think back and remember, they're standing there, they're weeping. They're crying. The Bible doesn't tell us why. It might be because this second temple is not as glorious as the first. How could it have been? And maybe they're, by comparison, they're saying, well, this isn't as good as it used to be. This is not as good as the old days. Well, the old days were better than this. And they're weeping. Here's a joyous moment. Here's a time for praise. Here's a time for rejoicing. Some there in the crowd are weeping. And some are shouting and praising the Lord. So their fellowship together is a mixture of tears and praises. And you know what I think? I think life is like that. I think every day our lives are a mixture of tears and praises. I think probably every one of us, if we just stop like those old men and we think back on the past, there are probably things right now we could cry about. We could cry about our failures. We could cry about loved ones that are missing. We could cry about mistakes we've made. There's a lot, if we looked back, we could probably cry. And maybe in the midst of our praises here, it would be tears and praises. But you know what? I think life is like that. I don't think there's probably ever a day when we're praising and rejoicing that there isn't always, even in our hearts, sometimes there's that little note of sadness. A little bit of sadness in all that we do. But that doesn't mean just because there's things we can think back on and maybe cry over that we shouldn't still praise the Lord as well. That we still shouldn't rejoice even through all of our tears. Look at verse number 12. We'll go down to the end. When the ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So here's this crowd. You got some guys shouting and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. Here's a work begun for God. But somebody's remembering the past. And they're crying. And in verse number 13 it says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. They just all blended together. You couldn't tell the difference. Some are crying, some are shouting. But you know what? It all comes up to God together.
Amen.
It just blends together. And you know what? Somehow it's a blessing to the Lord. God's not telling us, don't think back. God's not telling us there's not going to be tears. God's not telling us sometimes there's sorrow. But you know what the Lord does tell us? He says your sorrow will be turned into joy one day.
Amen.
You have sorrow, you're going to have tears. The Lord told His disciples in John chapter 16, you're going to have tears. You're going to have sorrow. You are going to have trouble. But one day when I return, your tears are going to be turned into joy.
Hallelujah.
Turned
Praise
into
God.
Laughter.
God.
Yeah, sometimes we cry. Yet 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing.
Amen.
As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How could those two things go together? Lord, I've got sorrow, yet I'm rejoicing. There are tears. Yes, there are. But you know what? There's still a song in my heart. One doesn't wipe out the other. It's not supposed to. You got some disappointments? Join the club. Had some setbacks? We all have. Made some mistakes? Not as big as mine. You haven't made any as big as I've made. Screwed things up? Me too. Made a mess of it? Been ashamed? Yes, me too. Got a lot you could look back on and regret? I'm sorry to say I have. But do you know what? I'm still happy today. I'm happy today because I have a merciful Father in heaven. I'm glad today because the Bible says a righteous man will fall down. He might fall down again and again and again. But you know what the Bible says? He gets back up again. What a God we have. Yeah, there are tears. But you know what? You still should be happy. Even though you're carrying a heavy burden, some of you are. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. One last verse. Let's end with this. Habakkuk. I'm giving you all these books in the Bible hard to find for some of you, right? Habakkuk. See if you can find that one. Habakkuk. I'm looking forward to the day when some of you that are growing, you're going to know where these things are real quick. Habakkuk. Comes right after the book of Micah, right before the book of Zephaniah. Remember Zephaniah? You were there already. Go back to Zephaniah and then back up one. Habakkuk. We've looked at this before. I love these verses. Chapter 3. I love these verses. I just hope you'll underline these or remember these or do something with this, okay? Make this a part of your life. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. I just want to tell you, this guy in verse number 17, he's got a lot of trouble. This guy has got everything going wrong. Nothing is working out right in verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. It's pretty bad, isn't it? I guess that would be a guy whose life has gone all wrong. Nothing's working. Nothing's working. He's got nothing good happening. Yet, there's no period at the end of verse 17. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can you rejoice through your tears? You should be able to. You should be able to. One day in heaven, there won't be any more tears. He's going to wipe them all away. So that tells me He didn't wipe them away down here. Even though you're saved, you'll have your share. Even though you're saved, you're going to have your, maybe more than your share of disappointments and heartbreak. But you know what? If you're saved, you've got a book you can always go to. You've got a Father in heaven that you can always turn to. Every time things are going bad, I'm glad I can just get on my knees and get alone and talk to my Heavenly Father. I'm glad that His arms are always open. I'm glad that He's always merciful. I'm glad that He always gives us grace to help in a time of need. And even if everything's going as wrong as it is for this guy in verse 17, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind's feet. That's a deer. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Notice this is addressed to who? To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. In other words, they wanted to make sure that even though there was trouble in their lives, that they remembered to praise the Lord. If you've lost your joy, if you've lost that shout that should be in your heart, if you've lost your gladness, you can get it back. You can get it back. You don't have to stay in that condition. If you feel it's missing this morning, get it back. We don't have the time to go through this, but you can pray it back, you can confess it back, and you can work it back. We'll have to save that for another time, but pray it back. Talk to the Lord about it. When you get into the Scriptures and you read these verses about joy and rejoicing, ask the Lord to put it back in your heart. Thank Him for the things that He's done in your life. Confess your sin to the Lord. I know all of our sin is forgiven. I know that there's no more sin on us. We're in Christ. There's no more sin on us. And yet, you know what? Still, in spite of that, you and I need to stay clean every day. We need to acknowledge our transgressions to the Lord. We need to make sure that we keep our heart and our conscience clean every day. And the Lord will put that joy back in your heart again. One last verse. You don't have to turn there. Hosea chapter 14. It says, O Israel, return. So will we render the calves of our lips. That's a weird expression. The calves, that's a sacrifice. God says to Israel, return. Israel responds in verse number 2, Lord, we will. And so will we render the calves, the sacrifices, in other words, of our lips. We'll give You back those sacrifices, Lord, that You require when our heart returns to You. So I hope you haven't lost your joy, and if you have, I'm just going to pray the Lord will give it back to you. And I hope today you'll take care of that. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank You for Your attention. We've got a big day ahead of us, and I think the food is ready and all that out there. But before we just run out of here like a herd of cattle, let me ask you. Maybe you're here this morning, and you'd have to be honest with God that joy is missing in your heart. You're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Let me just ask you a simple question. Are you happy this morning? Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? Do you know for sure your sins are forgiven? Do you know for sure you're saved? If you're saved, you got a lot to rejoice about this morning. If you're on your way to heaven, you got something to shout about today. Even though maybe someone has hurt you, maybe somebody's mistreated you, said things about you, maybe things aren't happy in your home, you know what? Why don't you start praising the Lord anyway and thanking Him for the good things that you have? And maybe, just maybe, the Spirit of God will start to work out those other things that are going wrong. I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything this morning, but if you know there's something missing in your life, I just pray this morning you'll talk to the Lord about it and you'll get it right. But before we leave the room, we want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're among friends this morning, and this would be a great time and a great place for you to get that settled. Is there anyone at all you'd say, I'm not sure that I'm a child of God today. I'm not sure I'm saved. I would appreciate your prayers. Anyone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Our heads are bowed. and eyes are closed, but is there anyone here you'd say, I'm not sure I'm saved, please pray for me? Just lift your hand and put it back down again. Anyone at all? All right. Father, Lord, thank you for the song that you do put in our heart. Thank you for your word today. We pray, Lord, as we leave this place and we go out to fellowship, Lord, that you bless the time together today, bless the meal. Thank you for the food. And Lord, thank you for the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, today if there's someone in this room, Lord, and their life isn't right, that song is missing in their heart, the joy is gone, Lord, I just pray that you'd help them this morning. Give them repentance. Help them, Lord, to seek your face. And I pray, Lord, that you just put that song back in their heart. We thank you, Lord, for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, I don't guess we need any instructions on this, right? The food is ready, I guess, Chris, right? So you can just make your way right outside near the tent and enjoy the afternoon. If you're going on the trip tomorrow morning and you haven't spoken to me, I have some last-minute instructions for you. Come and see me. Yes. Let me turn this off.